Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Obscure. My name is Thea, and I'm a film director, music video maker, and editor from Georgia. Let's get started. I took freedom to start talking about the position of people in my podcast. However, I never really clearly stated my own position. Going back to my school years, been talking a lot about how I read a lot of books, how I was interested in politics and other subjects, but in fact I also clearly remember the time when I was going to an art studio and my teacher once told me, "Oh, you didn't watch the news? Aren't you interested in what's going on in your country?" But somehow at that time I had a theory that even without watching news, you can always know about what's going on in the country if you listen to the people. At my home, TV was always occupied by our grandmother and grandfather, and I didn't find much freedom listening to whatever I want. And what was running on television was mostly series. From time to time, you could also get some Russian news, because my other grandmother really loved, for some reason, to watch Putin and say how ugly he is, what a plebeian he is, and all kinds of atrocities. Even when in 2008 Russians attacked Georgia, I didn't watch the news. I was on the street and my mom called me and told me that they're coming. And I was standing in the middle of the street disoriented, because you don't see any danger coming from anywhere. But then as you pass the street, every single person in each square meter would be talking about this. I also remember my relatives driving to Tbilisi, and they told me that the bomb was thrown right on their path and they barely skipped it. I was also in Kobuleti having a vacation together with my parents when I saw explosion in Poti. It was night and we were on the shore and this huge fire started. And for some reason, at that time I decided that I would stop reading books, stop watching news, and just go out into the world, explore, and hear what people think, not what other people are telling us about what people think. At that time, I realized that even though I was curious about the vast subjects, I never really paid much attention to what's happening locally. I was completely absorbed with my art and my art studies. I was quite heavily depressed at that time as well, so I spent a lot of time after school and after graduating from the university just trying to figure out what's wrong with me. So I missed a lot of events happening in our country. Probably until third or fourth year in the university, I didn't even know who's the president of the country. I went that far away from all my interests and completely dived into self-actualization, because they taught me that time is ticking, that if you want to be a filmmaker, you gotta do it now, because after your 30s, it's already too late and you can't become successful. And there is no other way to make films unless you win a festival or something of that sort. You don't have a second chance. If you do a bad film, for the next 5 years, you're dead for the industry. Those kind of things were going around a lot in that time. Later, when already the war in Ukraine started, and after pandemic already happened, things changed a lot. Pandemic almost cut our dreams about filmmaking careers as well, because stuck in our homes, we couldn't make films. Even though I actually shot my first ever budget film during pandemic. But future looked really indistinct, and we had a lot of time to stay with our own selves and figure out what it is that we want. Ironically, both of my grandmothers who are born and raised in Ukraine. When I'm trying to figure out their nationality, it's really difficult because actually I have so many nationalities mixed in my bloodline that my guitar teacher would tell me to enter European Union all on my own. But as a matter of fact, both of my grandmother and actually my grandfather, who was clean Georgian, like my father's male bloodline comes from Georgia, but mostly the women were the ones who were the other nationality. So my grandfather lived in Ukraine too. That's where they met with my grandmother, and then they moved to Georgia. It was hard for me to ignore the situation already at that time. But I realized also that I don't know a lot about the inside out of our own film industry either. I didn't go out of my house almost at all times. I didn't communicate with anybody. And basically, I didn't have a chance to meet people from the industry. And they were the first ones who started to protest because our Minister of Culture suddenly decided to fire people. For me, it was hard to decide to make a step, a legal step, and sign any documents at that time that would show that I am on somebody's side. I wanted to know what exactly is going on. And for that, I had to catch up for all those years that I didn't look into politics. It wasn't an easy task. And somehow I also ended up in a camp that was opposite of the protesters. It wasn't intentional, but I also was curious why those people were attacked and why those people didn't support the others. There are different opinions in the society, of course, and some of them are just a cover, some of them are real. You can't say that somebody is completely clear with their intentions. Well, everybody has their own stakes, of course, but for the last 2 years, you could also say that the film industry in Georgia died. Films are still being made, but, well, for people like me, for example, there is no chance anywhere. As from the very beginning, I didn't join this filmmaking political movement, and I even had the courage to stand up for those on the other side, saying that not everybody is bad. I got stuck in between, and as we all know, both sides hate people in between. Like, middlemen are always attacked, both from left and from right. That's like a political fact that everybody got used to for some reason. So I'm not saying I'm exactly a centrist, but I'm stuck in the middle, and we don't really have a center in Georgia, I suppose. Even if they do exist, we never had more than two parties that had power in our country for many years. Anyhow, even as a filmmaker, I can't find producers to support my films. I can't also submit to a National Film Center because they're under boycott, and I'm kind of trying to be stay in solidarity with other filmmakers with whom I still want to work in the future. Also, there is not much chance to get any funding from outside unless you're already an established filmmaker and have good connections in the industry. Basically, a lot of filmmakers like me for the last 2 years have been dead. I've been stuck in unemployment for more than 1 year, and also I haven't been able to do anything politically. Like, the street protest culture from teenage years was something that I was trying to figure out, but I couldn't connect to. So somehow the only way for me to express my position became this podcast. Of course, I speak a lot about people who stay quiet and the reason for that. But definitely not everybody is clean. A lot of people in Georgia are still dependent on Russia. During our student years, there were two types of students, three parties. Okay, one that spoke English, one that spoke Russian, and one that didn't speak any language but Georgian. And I was one of the student council club members who was trying to implement English classes in our university studies. And I would say that our country is also divided into those kind of people. If you don't know English, it means that you are in an informational bubble where you can only get information from Georgian sources. And even in education, that's always have been a big challenge, because we don't have much of reliable information in our own language. Us who speak English, like me, had opportunity to at least listen to foreign podcasts, read foreign books, be it American or European or even other translations into English. But also, as a person who grew up in a Russian-speaking family, I also had access to Russian sources as well. Even looking back at my childhood, I also see that I would post a lot in Russian, because that time it didn't pose a problem. I acted even as a translator from Russian to Georgian for a while. And right now I don't use this language anymore, but what I know is that there are a lot of people in Georgia whose second language is Russian. And as I had access to the research by European Union, which collected data about migration from Georgia, one of the biggest amount of work migration from Georgia happened to be to Russia. And it's still true, because now that Europe is closing or attempting to close the border with us because of the political situation here, it also means that a lot of people who worked in Europe now have the only direction left, which is Russia, which means that a lot of our workforce is dependent on that country. It starts from people at lower levels who just go there to sell sweets. You know, I met this woman from Tbilisi, told me the story that she doesn't like this government, but she actually goes to Russia to sell sweets. And that's how they survive. There is also a large amount of apples going to Russia and some other agricultural products. There is another category as well, which I found out about when I was driving a taxi. And the taxi driver said this very strange thing. He says that actually a lot of people have markets and their own businesses in Russia. They get a lot of money there, and then they come back to Georgia and work as taxi drivers. And they're using this to cover up for their capital, so that the financial police, let's say, doesn't pinpoint them as a wealthy citizens. They cover up for their finances by working as a taxi driver and pretending to be at lower string of financial chain in the country. So there are a lot of hidden capitals in Georgia, not only among the businessmen, but among citizens as well. And that's probably one of the reasons that our economical growth has been showing up on charts. I also heard there are a lot of new houses have been built. So people have money, and this money comes from our neighboring country, which is raging war in Ukraine now. It's not a surprise that those people don't want to lose their businesses. And of course, that also proves that not all motivations are clear, but it depends on the level of income that you have. Because the woman who was selling sweets, for example, also told me that she knows a lot of young people who have been trying to enter the Georgian Dream Party, but they were like good people. And she was sure that we need more people like that in order to overpower the bad guys in the politics. It sounds quite naive in a way, because they don't really have much power. But if the majority of those people are, let's say, proper-minded and care about their country, it also is good, because they're not so easy to manipulate. That's maybe probably why I always cheer and try to raise these kind of voices from the mass. Because people have various opinions, and those opinions aren't being respected most of the time. Going back to the taxi driver, by the way, this is a phrase that I heard from him. And then he glanced at me through the mirror and corrected the joke. What it basically shows is that a lot of people in the country actually do not like the oppositional parties, and they were hoping for those who were claiming to be in the middle. But then those also decided to betray the protest and take part in the upcoming elections, which seems to be the betrayal for those people. The joke was about him putting the numbers on his new car that would say Georgian Dream 41, which is their party number. And it's quite sad, because it shows that a lot of people are giving up, because they see no leaders and no supporters in the society that they could trust. But also they are being claimed to be Georgian Dream supporters, were they actually not. I changed the voice of the driver not to compromise him. However, those are the questions I have for this episode. Do we still understand each other as a society? And is there any other option left now for us, besides getting the prisoners out of jail? Thank you for your attention, and don't forget to follow, subscribe, and support.